Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Shine bright, and that is Marcia Ball. Marcia, should we blame everything on you? I mean, we've been blaming everybody else, so should we? Do you want to take the blame, Marcia?
No. No, it's David.
It's David. Okay. Thank you, Marcia. How are you, Marcia Ball?
I am wonderful and so happy to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Well, back at you, lady. It's been way too long.
And you were here.
Indeed.
You were at the world's greatest roadhouse, Fitzgerald's, for the 4th of July celebration. And then you went back home? Are you back in Austin now?
No. We went from there to, where have we been? We went to Ann Arbor. We went to Minneapolis.
Oh, wow.
Last night we were in Three Oaks, Michigan.
Michigan, at the Acorn Theater. Yes.
At the Acorn. And then tomorrow night we're up in Wisconsin at the Thrasher Theater in Green Lake.
Right. And then Sunday you're going to be at one of our favorite places along
at
with Fitzgerald.
Space in Evanston, yeah.
Love Space.
Yes. Yes, well, I do too.
Well, I have to ask you, after all that we've all been through in the past couple of years with the pandemic, how does it feel to be back on the road?
Amazing. I mean, it was really scary at first. I mean, I had to do a lot of self confidence building in the course of getting back out here. I'd always feared losing momentum, and it seemed like that was something that it kind of happened, and then just get back into the stride of it, and making the plans required to get out on the road has been the hardest part. Being at the gig, playing the gigs, that's the cool, easy part. Hmm. But getting there is harder than ever.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting. But, oh, my gosh, to be back out, and the crowds are so enthusiastic. You can just feel the energy and especially right now. I mean, people are telling me at the end of every gig, we just needed to be distracted. We just needed to be entertained.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
And during the pandemic, we understand that you have spent a lot of time. You're working on a play now?
A friend of mine who is a very well-known, successful writer named Lawrence Wright wrote a play some years ago about Texas politics. And in a few years ago, he decided he wanted to make it a musical. And he's very well connected. So we were talking about kind of a high level of possible production. And we started writing songs, and it was really fun. And then the lockdown came. And so there were no performances. There was no Broadway. And so he has explored various ways to get this thing out. And interestingly enough, one of them was a podcast. But that meant we had to expand this project from a two-hour play to maybe eight episodes. So he kept writing and the book, and we kept writing the songs. And so at this point, we've probably got 50 songs that we've written. And now we're not sure what's going to happen with it. We're examining all our options, but it was really a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh, 50 songs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was Larry and his son Gordon Wright, who lives in Evanston, who's a wonderful singer and a songwriter, and I, who did the songs. And now Larry has actually created a book, a novel based on the play. So that guy never slows down. He won the Pulitzer. Larry won the Pulitzer for a book called The Looming Tower about Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
If we want to keep up with this project, though, what's the name of it? How do we say, oh, we heard about this on the radio.
It's tentatively called Mr. Texas. So,
okay.
Yeah, and it's about a young West Texas rancher who finds himself in the state legislature of Texas, and his mentor, who's a lobbyist, expects him to be manipulatable, mailable, and he's not, as it turns out. So, yeah, it's a cool story.
Yeah. I want to take just a moment because I have to share with you what happened tonight with us doing the show. We came in here after the afternoon drive personality, Lisa Dent, and she said, oh, I saw Marcia in New Orleans. Oh, my God, it was the best show ever. Followed by our very first guest of the night. He goes, oh, I've seen Marcia every time she was at Fitzgerald's. Literally every guest that's been in the studio tonight or on the phone, he said, oh, I can't. Does that ever get old when people go, oh, Marcia, I can't believe I saw you fill in the blanks. Tonight there was an Austin, a New Orleans, a Fitzgerald's, you name it.
Well, you know, I'm fortunate that I've got, you know, I get so many strokes. But not too much, you know. I can go to a restaurant, you know. Yeah. It's not like I get mobbed or anything.
Right.
So yeah, I'm spoiled rotten, actually. In fact, I just pointed out, I just told my husband that all the guys at Home Depot recognize me when I go in there.
There's a song in that.
I think there's something there. But, yeah, I think for one thing, I think a lot of the guys who work at Home Depot are probably close to my age. And in Austin, they're old hippies, you know. And this is what they're doing now. So they recognize me. And Gordon, my husband, he said, well, do you get better deals? And I said, no, but I get real good service.
Okay. Now I'm going to do kind of an expose, a peek into the private life of Marcia Ball. When you go to Home Depot, what are we most likely to find you looking for in Home Depot?
Well, for one thing, I love hardware stores, and I always have.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, I'm a master of scut work. I like to do work like that. So, I like to build things. And one thing that during the lockdown, the first summer of that, my grandsons and I were building a boat from a kit, a small little, you know,
intricate
10-foot, kit boat. So that took me to the lumber yard a lot, and then I've got a rent house. I'm always having to do something with that. Mm-hmm. And then we live in a house that was built in the 30s, in the 1930s. So there's always something there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I love plants.
So oh, now you're singing
my song. I hardly ever get out of there without a plant.
Yeah, you're singing my song now.
In spite of the fact that I feel like Austin in 50 years is going to be Phoenix.
Oh,
it's so hot and dry.
Yeah, yeah. I know. We just got back from Florida.
Yeah. Hope springs eternal. So, you know, I go and I buy the plants.
Yes, I hear you. We're talking with Marcia Ball. And Marcia, if you don't know her music, you got to get hip to the music because we're talking about phenomenal. It'll get your blood pumping, great pianist, and just a great show person, too. And she's going to be at Space in Evanston on Sunday night, but she's going to be with us for a few more minutes, so stay with us on WGN.
Got to find somebody who will treat me right. That's Marcia Ball from an extraordinary album called Shine Bright. And Marcia is going to be shining bright at Space this Sunday night.
Yes, busy, busy woman, spending a few minutes with us. Marcia, for people who are not familiar with you as a pianist, when did you start playing piano? Because we were talking about you off the air with some of our earlier guests. the piano was like an extension of you. And it's just so incredible to watch you play because it's so much fun. So when did all that start for you?
Well, my grandmother played piano, and my aunt played piano, her daughter, my Aunt Meredith. And so when I was 5 or 6 years old, starting school, the piano appeared in our living room, and my lessons began. So my grandmother would pick me up and take me to lessons, pick me up from school. And so I took lessons from the time I was about 5 till I was 14, and then I kind of set it aside for, you know, high school pursuits, playing sports and chasing boys, driving cars. And so, and then after, so, but it's always been a part of my life. I'm old enough that when in our family, when the Sunday dinner was over, Sunday lunch was over, we didn't gather for a football game in front of the television. We gathered around the piano.
Nice.
At my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And somebody always, you know, we all played. Somebody mm-hmm. showed off what they knew and what they had been working on. So, I'm happy to say that I've got 2 grandsons who are both playing piano now, and I kind of look forward to, you know, sometimes somebody asking them, you know, how did you start? And they're mm-hmm. going to say, well, my grandmother played the piano.
And boy, did she play piano, too. Any of those relatives that influenced you as a child, were they playing any house rocking boogie-woogie piano?
Well, actually, yeah, they were playing popular music. My grandmother, the legend is, the story is, that she accompanied the silent films in Lafayette, Louisiana, when she was a teenager.
Wow. How cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she played popular music. She had a window box in her dining room full of sheet music, all, you know, the Tin Pan Alley. I grew mm-hmm. up listening to all of that. All those melodies are my roots music. And then my aunt played the popular music of her era, of the 30s and 40s and 50s. So I grew up with all of that. They were not classical players. Mm-hmm. They were definitely the popular music of their era, which is really what informed me. And then, you know, I grew up in Louisiana. My other grandmother lived in New Orleans, so we were always there. And my aunt, who lived in New Orleans, loved music of that place and that time, so she had great records, and so mm-hmm. I got kind of a whole the next generation came to me that way.
And now add to that, you live in Austin, so you've got the Austin influence on top of all of this other fabulous music.
What a great music city.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, and it still is. That's what's interesting. It seemed like in the late 60s, there was a real boom of people moving. All these great guitar players came to Austin mm-hmm. in between like 68 and the mid 70s, and all the Stevie Vaughan and Jimmy mm-hmm. Vaughan and Denny Freeman and Derek O'Brien and everybody, all the songwriters came to town. But it's no less creative now mm-hmm. than it was then. There's an amazing array of talent. And honestly, when I started playing in bands in Austin in the early 70s, there were very few women singing. And now, oh my God, the talent, the voices, it's amazing.
What was the first gig that you were actually paid cash for?
I think that the band I got in about 1968, in Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. and our first gig was, there were 2 bars on Highland Road, the street that led into campus at LSU. And one was the Tiger and the other was the Bengal, and I can't remember which one we played first, but that would have been my first paying gig.
Uh-huh. Do you remember how much you made?
No.
Probably enough to stop and get a hamburger on the way home.
But I'll tell you, the sad truth is that I looked back at my calendars. I have calendars all the way back to 79.
Wow.
And I was looking at the early 80s, and we were doing really well then, mm-hmm. and we played a lot, but, you know, one night or a gig at a club in Austin or Corpus Christi or Houston or San Antonio paid, in many cases, just about the equivalent of what they pay now for a lot of bands.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And now coming out of the pandemic.
I don't want to bring you down, or anything, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I say that people come out now. They want to park in 1984 and pay a 1992 cover.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
they don't want to pay. Yeah, and you know, Austin's become a big city now.
Yeah, the South by Southwest certainly helped bring a lot more attention to Austin with mm-hmm. music, and
but mostly it was the tech boom that has really brought the population there.
Yeah, very true.
It's different now, but there are still a lot of venues, and as I said, there's a ton of creative talent. Mm-hmm.
Well, for people who are going to come out and see you at Space, what kind of things are they going to hear? You're going to be doing any new things? Certainly you'll be doing some things from your Shine Bright album and some of your past albums, but you're going to lay anything new on them too?
We're going to do a few things that, you know, they haven't heard probably, because we've been digging around and trying to freshen up. And another thing I've been doing is kind of going back in time and pulling out some songs that we haven't done in a while mm-hmm. that we did, because in the pandemic, I didn't really write a lot of songs for me. I kind of half jokingly say this, because this is a song I wrote, but it's not a song that we do. But I said the song that I did write about my pandemic experience is called "I Took to Drinking."
Oh. Okay. I bet a lot of people can identify with that.
Amen. I took to drinking. I took to eating.
Yeah.
I took to crying. Right. Wow. Well, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And I'm telling you, folks, if you want to have a good time, you got to come out and see Marsha.
Yep.
And it's to me, I feel like there's a little bit of normalcy when I know that you're going to be at Space in Evanston on Sunday. So thank you.
Marsha, it's always wonderful to talk to you, and feel some huge, safe distance virtual hugs from us.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And y'all take care. Everybody take care. And we are so happy to be back at it. But we want everybody to be safe.
Amen. Yeah. We'll catch up with you real soon, Marsha. Thank you.
We love you, Marsha.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. Love you, too.